I tell you what, there's a lot that's going on in the last year, and in the midst of it all, it's good to see God being honored and glorified. Let me tell you something. It's all about the church. It's not about just some pastors on a staff or somebody who pulls off an event. It's about the church, the people, you. You are the church. And might I say, if it doesn't sound awkward or strange, I just want to say thank you from me personally, because this last year has been a year of change. And there's been a lot of opportunities for people to say, what do I do? Left, right, up, down, follow him, follow them, go here, go there. And what do? It's in the midst of those little cracks where the enemy tries to get in. And I want to say this, thank you, not for choosing me, not for choosing the church, not for any of that. I thank you for seeking the Lord, hearing him, and then obeying him. Because that's what makes all the difference in the world. If you do anything to glorify man, it's short-lived. If you do anything to glorify God, you have eternal benefits. You see, it's all about faith in Jesus Christ. And not just about a faith, but acting upon that faith. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Childish or childlike? What's the difference? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to eventually get to that portion of Scripture as we talk about faith. You know, when my daughter Drea was young, 2-3 years old, I was in our TV room watching TV, and I hear this tiny little voice go, help me. And I thought, is that the TV? Then I heard it again, help me, help me. And it was getting louder and more frequent. And I thought, what is going on? And I walked in. Now, in our basement at the time, there was a ledge maybe about as high as this step, and we had a washing machine and a dryer that sat on top of it. Drea loved to climb up on that little piece, grab onto the washer, and then let her feet go and hang. The problem was, is after her arms got tired, she didn't know what to do. She was dangling from the washing machine, and she didn't know what to do, so she cried out, help me, help me. And I came walking in, and I saw her hanging from the washing machine and said, what are you doing? Now, dads, we sometimes ask dumb questions, don't we? It's obvious, you're hanging from the washing machine. Why are you doing that? That was irrelevant at the time. Help me, help me. I said, Drea, let go. You're an inch from the ground. No. No, she's too afraid. I said, Drea, trust me. Do you trust me? She didn't answer, which was an answer. I said, Drea, let go. And she went and do it. So I walked over and I grabbed her and I set her down. I said, why didn't you let go? I didn't want to fall. I said, honey, you would have fallen. The worst you would have done is, you know, broke a shoelace maybe. I don't know. It's an inch. But she was too afraid. And I couldn't help but think, how many times have we found ourselves in somewhat the same scenario, hanging on a washing machine, not having the faith to let go when God says let go, or obey his voice, and we're hanging there saying, help me, help me. And God walks in, Father God, and says, what are you doing? No, he doesn't say that. He just says, do you believe me? Do you trust me? Yeah, help me. Then let go. But we don't have the faith to do it. You see, God's a gracious God. He still comes over. He still picks us up. He'll set us down, but then he'll say, why didn't you let go? See, God knows why we didn't let go. He wants us to know why we didn't let go. So we can learn from that. It's about faith. And that's okay in a 2- and 3-year-old child. It's even okay when you're young in the Lord and you're walking with him, learning to trust. The goal is to learn to put your faith in him. Not a faith that says, yeah, I have faith, that like it's a noun. God wants you to know a faith that is a verb. Not just one that is defined, but one that's put into action. You see, many times we can get stuck in the Bible. It's not in your outlines, but let me read it to you. Matthew 11, 25, if you want to make a notation. He says, Jesus is addressing some towns. He's in the book of Matthew bringing judgment on some unbelievers because they had more faith than things than they did him. And he says this, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and revealing them to the childlike. He reveals them to the childlike. Not the smarty pants, the childlike. Not childish, childlike. Well, what's the difference between childlike and child faith? Well, it's a big difference when it comes to God, because he's going to reveal the kingdom of God to those who are childlike. Those who are childish, they don't get to see it. So I want to know the difference between childlike and childish. That's important for me to know. It's important for you to know, lest we think we're all that when we really aren't. And we get mad at God and shake our fists saying, why don't you bless me? When he says, why don't you listen to me? There's a big difference between the two. How many times have you thought these thoughts? If I just had more faith, I could do so much more for Christ. You ever think that in your own heart? And you don't have to raise your hand or anything like that. Have you ever had this thought? If only I had greater faith, I wouldn't have to live down here in the dumps. I could experience a little bit more of some V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. I could have some victory in my life if I just had a little more faith. If you've ever thought that, if you've ever said that, I've got some good news for you this morning. Here it is. You don't need more faith. Now you might say, you said good news. It is good news. You don't need more faith. Jesus said that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move what? Mountains. Do you know what a mustard seed looks like? If you don't, look at your outline. There'd be one taped to it. Some of you probably looked at it and went, who got something nasty on my outline? And you, we got a booger on my outline here. That is not a booger. It's a mustard seed. And Jesus said, this little baby right here, it can move mountains. A mustard seed? No, 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 not a mustard seed. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Can you have that much faith that God can do what God says he can do? We have this size faith that a mechanic can fix our car, but we don't have this much faith that God can save us, redeem us, recycle us, use us, have a purpose for our life. You see, faith the size of a mustard seed. You know, it's hard to understand and comprehend it. That's why it's called faith. He says, don't figure it out. You don't have a definition per se that says, when you feel it, then it will be real. No. If you go by feelings, you're in trouble. You go by faith. You trust in Christ. Well, it doesn't seem like much. It's a teeny tiny little mustard seed. Well, again, it's not the seed itself. It's the size of the seed. But the problem is you say, it doesn't seem like much, not at least until you have an impossible situation. All of a sudden, you're facing some difficulties and you're facing something that seems impossible. You say, I'm going to exercise that faith, just that amount. And you find out that God holds true to his word. You're going through a medical diagnosis and you don't know what to do. But because you have faith the size of at least a mustard seed, you find out that God is a healer. He's a savior. He's a redeemer. You go through a divorce. You go through a bankruptcy. Whatever it is, you find out that God backs his word. When? When you have faith. Not in a mustard seed, but in him. You see, what faith is not is this. It's not God saying, if you put your faith in me, I'll give you what you want. That's what we wish faith was, okay? If that's what you think faith is, wake up, you're dreaming, okay? Because if that was what faith is, none of us would have a hard time exercising faith. We'd all be doing it freely. We'd be doing it every day. Why? Because if I exercise faith, I get what I want. And we all want what we want, so we would exercise faith. What faith is faith is believing in that which you can't see. Faith is believing that what the world calls impossible, God says is possible. Faith is looking at what isn't and believing that it is simply because God said so. That's what faith is. You know, when you put your faith in God and you trust him for the outcome, know this, God gives you what you need. He doesn't always give you what you want, but he gives you what you need. Sometimes we don't discover what we need until after we've gone through some devastating situations in life. But even after going through those situations, let's say you face some hard times, I got good news for you too. His grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you're going through right now, I don't know what the pain, what the temptation, what the addiction, whatever it is, God says his grace is sufficient. But Pastor, I keep saying I'll stop doing it and I keep end up doing it. Can God still love me? Yes, that's the grace we talked about the prior week. But you exercise that, you engage that by trusting in him through faith. You see, if you trust yourself, you know you the best. You know you don't have what it takes to maybe overcome an addiction or to change your way of thinking or to garner that heart that you so want. But what's it going to require? Well, it's going to require you to trust God, to step out in faith and trust him to transform your hearts and in your lives. Many times when we're going through hard times, we it's difficult because we start looking at what everyone else is doing wrong. You ever go through difficulty and you find yourself going, well, if they just do this, and man, they got a problem, and you start looking at everybody else, what's wrong with them, only to find out later that the person God was trying to change was you. and you missed it. You wasted a month maybe. You know, went through a lot of extra heartaches and headaches because somebody else has to take responsibility. Why? Because I can't. I don't want to. So you got a problem and you got a problem and you got a problem. But the reality is the problem, and it's not even really a problem. It's the revelation that God is trying to bring us to transform our hearts and our lives. It's for us. But you can only receive that through faith. See, God is the only one that can bring that to us and bring change into our lives. How we receive that, God is so gracious. Like if Benga came to me and said, Jim, you need to grow up. You know what? It's not going to sit too well. It's going to bother me a little bit. If my dad comes to me and says, you need to grow up, you need to mature, hey, it's going to maybe rub me the wrong way. I might look over here and Russ may say, Jim, you need to grow up, and it might rub me the wrong way. But when the Holy Spirit says, Jim, you need to grow up, there's something different because God is a gracious God. He comes with grace, mercy, love, but he also comes with a discipline that corrects the heart in a way that's receivable. See, if we had hearts that were open to receive what the Holy Spirit has to say, we could hear what he has to say. It doesn't mean we always have it figured out, but he just says, here's what I need to tell you. You know, at one point, I was doing my devotions, and that's why journaling is so important. I hope you guys are doing the journaling with us, and if you're not, start. It's about learning to hear God. And I was reading in Corinthians somewhere in the Bible, because I can't remember where it's at either. It said, milk is for babes and meat is for the more mature. And I was writing that down. And I started to write and I said, well, I guess God's speaking that to me this morning because there's a point in my life where it's all been milk, baby, but God says it's time to grow. God just told me to grow up. And I wrote it with my own hand. And I realized, see, God can correct that. He can bring that through. How does he do that? Through faith. You have to still act upon that. And you can't talk about faith long enough without getting into Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the fact of we can learn through faith, because faith is the assurance of things hoped for. In other words, it's believing in something you can't see. Have you ever seen the movie Back to the Future? Have you seen it? Have you seen Back to the Future number dos? That's two in Spanish. Did I impress you? It's about all the Spanish I know. In Back to the Future 2, if you remember watching the movie, Marty McFly and the Doc, they jump in their time machine and go to the future because Marty McFly's kid's all screwed up. Remember that? And they got to fix it. And while he's there, he sees in one of the pawn shops something he has to have. Do you remember what it was? It was a sports almanac. And he knew if he took the sports almanac and he took all of the scores from baseball games and all the sports and brought them back to the present, he could bet and gamble on those and win every time. It would be financial gain for him. He thought, this is a win-win deal. But you see, the reason he did that was so he could have personal gain in the here and now, because he gained some information that was to happen in the future. Do you know that God has given us a book? And it reveals his Holy Spirit. We find out that we get the victory. We get to see in the end how it works out. We just have to act upon it by faith now. The word of God. He says, act upon that. Now, I'm not saying that you should gamble or try to get gain on the future and all that. I'm saying that you should put your faith in a God who says that he can accomplish anything that he desires in and through us. The world says this. The world says seeing is believing. But faith says believing is seeing. See, the world will look at you and say, you're crazy. You got it backwards. You believe before you see. That's called faith. We believe that faith precedes sight. Now, right here is one of the very fundamental reason so many Christians live defeated lives, and it's this. Instead of proceeding by faith, being convinced of what they can't see, even because God said it's there, they're waiting to see before they believe. They don't act upon their faith, and they miss out on God's very best. If faith is so integral and important. Matthew 18, verse 3. It's in your outlines there, isn't it? Do you see that there, Matthew 18, 3? Go ahead and read it with me. Ready? Go. Then he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Little children. I've got to be like a little child to get into heaven. I got to whine and cry and have a snotty. Not like childish. Not like young. It's about a childlike faith. The Bible says never. You will never enter the kingdom of God unless you have a childlike faith. I didn't say it. It's in the Bible, and it's a strong word. It's a strong word. You see, that poses a question. What does child faith look like? How do I know when it's childlike or childish? Well, The list could go on and on, but I've thrown a few that have been brought to my heart. You see, a childish faith, you can write in your outlines, has some to much fear, where a childlike faith has little to no fear. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that if you ever get afraid, you're out. God's done with you because you got scared, and so God says that's fear, so you're out. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm talking about is when you live life through fear rather than faith, that's a childish faith. It's one that needs to grow. It's one that says, well, I don't want to stand up for my beliefs because what if they think this about me? What if they think that? Or I don't want to take a stand for what I believe because what if somebody gets mad at me? Or what if, and they're more concerned and they're more afraid of what other people are going to think or say. That's a childish faith. But a childlike faith is one that has little to no fear. But we still experience fear. I mean, the Bible tells us this, that there's no fear in love, but his perfect love casts out fear. So because he says that, that lets us know that as believers, we'll still experience fear. But when you experience it, what you do is you engage the word of God and understand that it's his perfect love that casts that out. It's about understanding it's not letting fear dictate your life. You know, there was a man who slid over the edge of a cliff one day and he was able to grab onto a branch real quick and he hung onto it and he's dangling on the precipice of a cliff. And he doesn't know what else to do, so he cries out and says, help, somebody help me. And there's a voice from up above the sky that said, do you want me to help you? And he said, yes, I want you to help me. Somebody please save me. And the voice came back again and said, do you believe I have the power to help you? And he said, yes, I believe you have the power. Help me. The voice came back and said, do you believe that I love you enough to help you? And he said, yes, please, oh, please help me. Help me, I'm going to fall. And the voice said, because you believe, I will help you. Now let go. The man waited and said, is there anybody else up there? There's going to be times when we'll be afraid. Will we have faith? Because even the faith the size of a mustard seed moves mountains. So the real question is not, do we have enough faith? The real question is, will we act upon the faith that we already have? Do we believe? Do we believe? A childish faith acts and reacts according to what they believe and what they can see, what's tangible. A childlike faith responds with obedience to Christ, even though you may not be able to figure it all out with your mind. A childlike faith also puts their hope in God. And even though there may be some fear, they know that greater is he that's within me than anything in this world. You see, they may not experience that great renewal at that moment, but they're trusting and believing in God. Here's another way. A childish faith can be arrogant and selfish, but a childlike faith has complete dependency. Complete dependency on Christ. They know that without... Have you ever had a moment in life where you knew something seemed impossible? You don't know how it's going to work out, but you're just believing God is going to show up, and he does. There's no other way that you could have seen this move without the hand of God. Complete dependency. You see, a childish faith looks at self first, then others, and then maybe, just maybe, we'll call out to God. Kind of a last-ditch effort. A childish faith says, what's in it for me? We're childlike. It realizes that there's a complete dependency on Christ alone. There's times when we feel confident in our efforts. We feel confident in our abilities. In fact, we feel confident in the fact that we can do what we do and we do well at it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you put your faith in that, then it becomes very selfish. It can become very arrogant. And the reality is that everything that we do, everything that you do, everything that I do, we do because God has granted that to us. It's a gift from God. As a matter of fact, do this with me. We're going to take a deep breath. Ready? One, two, three. You like that? That right there was a gift from God. You didn't deserve that next breath. I don't deserve that next breath. We don't realize how dependent we are on God even for our very next breath. But we do what we do because of God's grace. And he says, when you understand that you're completely dependent upon me, then you have a faith that understands that it can move a mountain. A childish faith thinks they're in control. They lose sight of how dependent they are on God. But a childlike faith realizes that they live and move and have their being because of him, because of Christ. You know, there's a story of a kite that was flying through the air, and the kite started to talk to itself and said, "Oh, if I could be free of this string. If I could just get rid of this string, I could fly wherever I wanted to fly. I could go above the clouds. I could fly all around and have complete freedom if I could just get rid of this string." Well, the kite got its wish one day, and the string broke. And as soon as the string broke, the kite came crashing down. What the kite did not realize was that the same string that kept it down is also the same string that let it fly high. You know, when you cut the string, it doesn't mean that you're any freer. Some of us will always head towards disaster when we cut the string of dependency upon Christ. We'll lose sight of the greater picture. God wants us to trust him and let him hold the string, staying connected to him. It keeps us from falling. Here's another way to tell the difference between childish and childlike. A childish faith trusts nobody else more than they do themselves. But a childlike faith has complete trust. Complete trust. My son, Seth, he's one of the most honest kids. And you might say, well, you're saying that because it's your kid, you know, and you have to, and or you get to or something. I'm not saying that. If I weren't his dad, and I heard him in some of the situations, I'm just amazed at how honest this kid could be. As a matter of fact, I'm somewhat jealous. I wish I could have been as honest as a kid, and I'm sure my dad wishes that too. But this kid, I'll say, Seth, were you doing something? And he'd be like, first of all, he's the worst liar in the world, okay? So I can tell when he's lying. And but I'll say, Seth, all I want is the truth. Please tell me the truth, and the rest we can work out. Yes, Dad, I did it. And that kid is so honest. He will lay himself on that altar. And I just think, man, have you got some guts, kid? Sometimes I think he's got more guts than I do. But there's a complete, he understands, there's just a complete, utter honesty and dependency upon being honest. And, you know, I told him, we went to the doctor one day and he had to get 4 shots. And he didn't like the idea of these shots. Who does? I mean, shots, dentists, doctors, drills, you know, everyone gets afraid a little bit. And I had to work on this because there's things that he would go on, roller coasters and all that. I'd say, Seth, do you trust me? Look me in the eyes. Do you trust me? He go, yeah, I trust you. Okay, Seth, you will survive this roller coaster. We can do this. Okay, Dad, we do it together. There's times where, Seth, do you trust me? We went to the doctor. He had to get 4 shots. And I said, Seth, buddy, I need you to look at me, okay? Because he kept looking around, and all he saw was cotton balls and needles and doctor clothes and all that stuff. And the air had a hint of alcohol, you know, that alcohol before the shot. Psh. Yeah, not the other alcohol. Let's get the right one. And I said, Seth, look at me. And he looked me in the eyes. I said, buddy, you've got to have these shots. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you the truth. They're going to hurt for just a little bit. Just a little bit. But you can squeeze my fingers as hard as you want. But as soon as it's over, it's done. It's finished. And by the way, Seth, you need this. This is in order so that you can be healthy. And I said, do you trust me? And he said, yeah, I trust you. So here we went. Here comes the nurses. They're double barrel needles. I'm sure that's what it felt like to him. He said, look at me. Look me in the eyes. Squeeze my fingers. And he goes, Dad. And I said, look me in the eyes. And they whop and they hit him. I said, squeeze. And he kind of went, and it was done. I said, you okay? And he goes, He was probably not the greatest at the moment, but there was a complete dependency that he had to trust his father. He trusted his father even when the father came and told him the truth, and the truth wasn't very pleasant. The truth wasn't very favorable for him. The truth said, you still have to have the shots, but I want you to know that the shots are in order to bring health into your life, and I want to be the one to tell you that, Seth, you need these shots, but I will be here. You can hold my fingers. I've got your back. You need this, and you will get better. Do you know that you have a Father God that loves you enough to tell you the truth? He says, you know what? I love you enough that I'm going to tell you the truth. And it may not be the most favorable truth, but it is truth at the core. And faith in God says, God, I want you as my father, and I have a complete dependency upon you. that if I'm going to get my life in order, and if I'm going to get things moving in a right direction, I may have to go through a couple double barrel needles, but I know that I can hold on to you. I know that I can look you in the eyes, and I know that when I put my faith in you, you will follow through and have my back. That's the kind of faith that is a childlike faith. See, the Bible talks to us in Hebrews, and I want to read it to you, and I'm just going to share with you three names real quick. Hebrews chapter 11, that tells us about this faith that we not only can have, but God desires for us. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen, for by it men of old gained approval. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So if it's not visible, it's a candidate for faith. Okay? Now, let me stop right there for a moment. Because what I want to introduce you to is three men in the Bible we're going to talk about right here in verse 4 and 5, 6, and 7. Three men that show us why faith is necessary and how it can apply to our lives today. The three men are this: Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Abel in the Bible, here in Hebrews 11, it talks about him and it says this, that he, verse 4, take a look at that in your outlines. You can read it along with me. Ready? Go. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he's dead, he still speaks. Abel teaches us this. Number one, you can write down that faith is necessary in order to please God in our worship. Faith is necessary in order to please God in our worship. Cain and Abel were told to bring an offering to the Lord. It was an act of worship. And God told them, he gave them a prescribed method on how to do it. God had revealed to Adam and his family, number one, the importance of worship. And he said, but God also must have a point at a time of worship, because the Bible says that Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices to a specific place. And it also says that God revealed that there was a time for worship, because the text says Cain and Abel came in the course of time. So there was a prescribed time, a prescribed place, and a prescribed method or way that they were to bring the offering. And it says that Abel honored God through faith because there was a shedding of blood. He took the best of the best cattle. He killed it. He offered it to the Lord, where Cain took what was convenient. He took some carrots and potatoes and apples and oranges and threw them on the altar and said, there you go, God. You know what he did? He gave God some leftovers. He didn't give him the best. He gave him what was convenient. And the Bible says that when you live a life of faith, and why faith is so necessary, especially in our worship, is because God is not looking for leftovers. God is looking for the best of the best. When you come to him, bring the best that you have. You may say, but the best I have isn't very good. But it's the best that you have. And that's all that God's asking for. He says, just give me what it is that you have. Because when you do it according to the way that I say, he honors that. So Abel teaches us that faith is necessary in our worship to God. Number two, there's a man by the name of Enoch that teaches us, number two, you can write it down, that faith is necessary to please God in our walk. Enoch in the Bible says in verse 5, it's in your outlines, let's go ahead and read that together. You ready? Go. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. You know, Enoch's story is found back in Genesis 5. Enoch was 65 years old when he became the father of Methuselah, who is the oldest man who ever lived. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And then we get the crowning statement of his life. Verse 24 says, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. You know, let me tell you something about living by faith. Faith submits to the will of God over the long haul. That's what faith does. For 300 years, Enoch walked with God. That is, he lived in his life in the light of eternity, so that he lived a life in order to please God rather than pleasing himself. Walking with God means giving up what you want because you would rather have what God wants. But many of us don't want to walk by faith because we don't want to give up what we want. You know, one of the things we don't realize is if we walked according to what God had called us to do, we would not only get our heart's desire, but there's so much more that God would want to bless us with. What is God looking for then? He's looking for men and women who are willing to obey. They're ready to come to a place where when God speaks, we respond with a, "Here I am, send me." You know, that kind of an attitude, so that he can bless us. Because living for yourself doesn't require much faith. Did you know that? It doesn't require much faith to live for yourself, but walking with God, now that requires faith, because you're now believing in something you can't see. It's not tangible, but you're living your life in order to please God. You're living your life to submit to his will. You know, 300 years is a long time to walk with God. What kept you not going? Well, Jude 14 and 15, you can write that down and look at it later if you want. But if you were to read that, you would find out that Jude says, Enoch looked ahead and saw the coming of the Lord, and because he saw that, he proclaimed the coming of the Lord and walked with God. In other words, Enoch could live in the present because he saw the future by faith. He could live in the present because he saw the future by faith. Many people, we just live like animals. You know, I've got a dog. Is there any dog lovers here today? Yeah? I love my dog. My dog's pretty cool most of the time. But my dog's a dog. You can only love a dog so much. You know what I mean? My dog, her name's Isabel. Okay, I call her Izzy. And Isabel, my dog, has no long-term goals for her life. My dog, Isabel, has no retirement program. My dog, Isabel, goes to the bathroom in the front yard. Yeah, there's not a big life here. My dog Isabel has it made pretty easy. As a matter of fact, my dog Isabel, all she wants to know is when's the next meal. That's all my dog Isabel cares about. Hi, how you doing? Where's the food? That dog has no GED. That dog doesn't do chores. That dog doesn't pray. That dog's about seeing Jesus a few times. But, you know what? If we're not careful, that's how many of us Christians can live. We just live for the next meal. We just live for the next day. We just live for the next moment. Living by faith is about understanding that God has some plans for our lives. God has a direction that he's taking us. And we need to not be so concerned just about the next meal, but where, God, are you leading us? Where, God, are you calling me to live my life? Where am I supposed to let my light so shine? Where are you taking me in my workplace? Where in our marriage are we not glorifying and honor God? And what can we do to change that so we can reflect you? Where in my workplace can we take this business that you've so blessed and not just let it be about a name or a financial gain? How can it be something that honors you? That's what faith is about. But a selfish, childish faith says, what's in it for me? Where's the next meal coming from? You see, Enoch teaches us that we need to make sure we come to a place where we understand faith is necessary in our walk. The third guy is a man by the name of Noah. And he teaches us that faith is necessary to please God in our work. To please God in our work. Now, I can't talk about Noah too long without addressing the movie that's come out, okay? How many of you have seen the movie Noah? How many of you have read your Bible? How many of you have noticed the two don't match up? My encouragement, because I don't want to ask, but believe the Bible more than you do Hollywood. I'll tell you, there is some truth in that movie. There is a guy named Noah. All right? Besides that, it's kind of like Transformers meets Ghostbusters meets Star Wars. And then we threw a man named Noah in there in a box, okay? And Noah is a real man. Noah is a man that had great faith. Great faith. I can only imagine being Noah. No, I can't, actually. I take that back. I just think about it. God shows up and says, build a boat. It's going to rain. Got it. What's a boat? What's rain? They knew what a boat was. What's rain? But he was in an area, Noah, probably, where he never really saw some seagoing vessels. You know, he never really understood what is rain and what do you mean you're going to bring rain down on the earth? You're telling me to build something and do something by faith. Yeah. Verse 7, look at it. Hebrews 11, 7. Read it with me. Ready? Go. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now, we know from Genesis 6:9 that Noah was a righteous man before he was warned by God. So he was already a believer. But his faith really kicked in when God said, build a boat. Noah, build a boat. Cool, build a boat. Why? It's going to rain. Gotcha. It's going to rain. So I'm supposed to what? You're supposed to obey me through faith. Oh. Okay. He had a choice. He had a choice. And guess what? It's the same choice we have today. When God calls us to do something, we have a choice. Are we going to function in faith, or are we going to say, that's stupid, ridiculous, unbelievable, impossible, can't do it? You see, that's acting in a childish faith. A childish faith looks at what can't be done. A childlike faith looks at what may seem crazy and impossible, but yet says, I believe it because God said it. It's as simple as that. Think about this. Noah's never seen rain because it never rained. Noah was in this position where he had to obey God, but it was a hard position to be in. I think this, if you were ever going to exercise faith or there was ever any epic moment of putting faith in God, this is one of them. To build a boat. Can you imagine the faith it took to chop down that first tree? You see, Martha, you know, and somebody comes by and goes, what you doing, Noah? Chopping down a tree. Why? I'm going to build something. Cool. What you going to build, Noah? No. I'm going to build a boat. I'm going to build a boat. Why are you going to build a boat? It's going to rain. What's that? It's going to rain. Huh? It's going to rain. Have you been taking communion again, Noah? You know, what are you talking about? You're kind of acting a little crazy here. You've been drinking some of the stuff. You know, they would have looked at him funny. And that's what the world does. It looks at us and says, you're crazy. You must be doing something you shouldn't be doing because you're thinking in a way that makes no sense. Sometimes that's what faith looks like, at least to the world. But to God, oh man, it's obedience. What an aroma that is. Imagine the faith it took for him to function and build that boat. And we say, that is just crazy. That's mind-blowing. I don't understand how this could happen. But the real question was this. God asked Noah to answer one thing. Am I trustworthy? Noah, am I trustworthy? That's all Noah needed to decide. Let me ask you today, because you may say, yeah, that's nuts, man. Noah, he's crazy. He had to answer that question. Guess what? Same question's on the floor. What boat is God asking you to build? Well, God's not asking me to build a boat. Yes, he is. What is it that God is telling you to stop doing that you find it hard to stop doing? What is it that God is telling you to start doing that you've got every reason and every excuse as to why not to do it? What is it that God is calling you to respond to that you've drugged your feet as long as you can? As a matter of fact, you may be even gone past the expiration date. What ark is God telling you to build that he says, all I'm looking for is faith? I'm looking for somebody that has that right there. As I said before, we have faith in this kind of faith in mechanics to build our cars. But we don't even have that kind of faith for a God to save our soul. God is looking for what boat is he calling you to build? And then what kind of faith are you putting in him? God is looking for people that will look at situations in life and they'll say, it's impossible. It's invisible. Yes, is now a candidate for faith. God wants to move in mighty ways, but the only way he can do that at times is when he calls you and me, his sons and daughters, to do things that seem out of the ordinary so that he can be extraordinary. He wants to move in our lives in such a way that he says, build a boat. God, I can't stop. I'm addicted. But God can give you the victory. But you don't understand. I have to watch it. I have to drink it. I have to smoke it. I have to snort it. Whatever it is, whatever addiction, maybe it's a thought process. Maybe it's something that you've used as a crutch for years. Well, my grandpa's grandpa's grandpa did it. My grandpa's grandpa did it. My grandpa did it. So therefore, I have a right. This is just who I am. No, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become brand spanking new when Christ is at the center of your life. What he wants to know is, where is your faith? Is it in your past? Or is it found in Christ alone? I want to close with this. A father wanted to occupy a little girl's time. You know, sometimes their daughters can, dad, 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 what? It happens to moms more than dads, but this dad said, I'm going to be creative. He says, I'm going to give her something to do. So he took a picture, and I had a picture of the world. And he took it, and he ripped it all up, tore it into many pieces. And he put it on the table, and he said, honey, he goes, now I want you to go ahead. Here's some tape, and I want you to put the picture back together. Okay? And she's like, okay, Daddy. And she's excited, had a project to do. She started working on it. He thought, phew, that took care of that. That'll occupy her for at least 20 minutes, if not 30, because she's got some work to do on that. So you can imagine his amazement when 5 minutes later she showed up with the picture completed. And he said, how did you get that done so quickly? He was stupefied. So he asked her, how in the world did you accomplish this and do it so quickly? She said, oh, she goes, well, on the back of that picture was a picture of Jesus. And I figured if I got him right, the world would fall into place. You know, our world is in chaos because we aren't focused on getting Jesus right first. Remember, and never forget, it's the size of your God, not your faith, that makes all the difference in the world. And when you have a childlike faith and you act upon it, guess what? Everything else, it falls into place. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray today that same kind of faith that we've just talked about, Lord, may we act upon it today. Lord, we don't want an opportunity to go by where you have pricked our hearts and reminded us that it's by faith, not by sight, that you accomplish your will in and through our lives.